Our Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, what a great opportunity we have now to hear from your word. Father, we pray as we look at these verses this morning, we pray that you speak to the hearts of each one of us. We pray, Lord, that your word will do its work in our lives. Father, we pray that Satan wouldn't come and rob us of the truth of your word, but that your word, the good seed, may fall on good soil this morning, bear much fruit in our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his namesake. Amen. You have the sermon outlines with you. There are 5 points there. And when I asked Indran, listen, how long can I speak for? I told him I'll probably do 20 minutes on each point. So that's more or less how long it's going to take us. He said, no, that's fine. It's his birthday. He's providing lunch for the church anyway. So we can stay here for some time. Friends, we have come to that time of the year again when people get all excited about their New Year's resolution. Isn't that true? That's the buzzword during this time of the year, New Year's resolution. What is your New Year's resolution? Have you thought about your New Year's resolution? And certainly for many, these resolutions are very significant as it sets the tone for the weeks and the months ahead. So they're thinking about the next year. They are thinking about 2019. They want to plan. They want to strategize. And they come up with these New Year's resolution. But this time of the year also creates an opportunity for us to reflect upon the past year. So we close 2018 in just a few hours' time. And we open 2019. So as we think about the new year, so we must also reflect upon the past year, our successes, our blessings, our failures, our challenges. And as we think about that, we reflect upon that, and we count our blessings as Christians this morning as well. And so with this in mind, I want to preach on the subject of the Christian's resolution. The Christian's resolution. Brothers and sisters, the sad reality is that many Christians do not give careful thought or prayerful consideration when setting goals for the year ahead. When we talk about this New Year's resolution, we don't really give much thought to it. There's no prayer that goes into setting a New Year's resolution. Therefore, the goal of a Christian unemployed is to be employed in the new year. The goal of an unhealthy person is to become more healthy in the new year. The goal of a student is to work harder next year. The goal of a single young adult is possibly to get married next year. The goal of a young married couple is possibly to start a family next year, and so on and so on. These are some of the resolutions that we as Christians set for ourselves. And on one level, these goals are great, and we certainly should pursue them if necessary, but they must not become the goals that drive us. These kinds of resolution that I just spoke about now, they must not become the goals and resolutions that drive us. Because by themselves, they do not set us apart from the unbelieving world. It's no different from the goal of a non-Christian. A non-Christian student certainly wants to work harder next year as well. Doesn't separate us as Christians from the goals that we set and the goals that the non-believing world sets as well. But there should be a difference. Because the Lord Jesus says of you and I that we are different from the unbelieving world. And so in this passage, in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer draws our attention to 5 truths relating to the Christian's resolution. And this morning, I trust that as you and I listen to God's word, we'll understand it, we'll reflect on it, we'll meditate on it, and we'll put it into practice. 5 truths this morning concerning the Christian's resolution. And the first truth we find is in verse 19 to verse 21. verse 19 to verse 21. And here, the writer reminds us that access has been granted. Access has been granted. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. What is he talking about here in this verse? He's saying that a Christian's resolution needs to be understood as our response to God granting us unlimited access into his presence. That's what he's speaking about here in this verse. The Lord Jesus, by his death on the cross, has now given us access into the presence of God. You'll remember that before the cross, access into God's presence was limited to one man once a year. Only the high priest once a year could go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. But now, because of Jesus' perfect and sufficient sacrifice, we can enter into the presence of God with confidence. My brother, my sister, what an amazing truth that is for you and I this morning. You and I as Christians, right here, right now, the Bible tells us that we can enter into the Holy of Holies. We can enter into the presence of Almighty God with confidence and with assurance. Not because of anything that you and I have done, simply because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us this morning. That is its amazing truth. We can enter into the presence of Almighty God. Now, how do we respond to this? How do we respond to the fact that God has granted us access into his presence? There are many, many places in our country that you and I have no access to. If you go to the Union Buildings in Johannesburg and you walk up the main gate and you say, listen, I want to come see the president, can I just go through? They'll say no. They'll call the police on you. If you go to Parliament Buildings and you try and walk in, they'll chase you away. In fact, you can't even probably walk into City Hall just like that. They'll chase you away. We are limited in terms of our access. But my brother, my sister, we need to understand this morning that you and I as Christians with confidence and assurance can enter into the throne room of the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the one who spoke, who said, let there be, and everything came into existence. We can go into his presence. I don't want to go into the Parliament Buildings if I can go into the presence of Almighty God. He has given us that opportunity this morning through his perfect and sufficient sacrifice. So then how do we respond to that? So then our New Year's resolution, our Christian resolution, is then a response to what Jesus has done for us, granted us access. And there are four responses we need to make here that the writer says to us. Four responses. First of all, there in verse 22. We are to draw near to God. That's our first response. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. God has granted us access. We respond to God by drawing near to him. That must be our resolution. By nature, man wants to move away from God. That's the nature of man. We see this in Adam and Eve. In the very beginning, they were hiding from the presence of God. But as a Christian, we need to draw closer to God. And as we draw closer to him, he will draw closer to you and I. Draw near to God. How do we do this? Well, he says, first of all, it must be done with sincerity of heart. It mustn't be a superficial thing. We mustn't give the impression that we are drawing closer to God. It mustn't be something we are pretending to do. It's very easy to pretend amongst believers on a Sunday morning, oh, I am so spiritual, I have drawn closer to God. It's something on the external. The Pharisees were very good at that, pretending that they are drawing closer to God, but in their hearts they were very, very, very far away from God. God's word says this morning, we are to draw near to Him and it must be done with sincerity of heart. We can fool ourselves, we can fool our spouse, we can fool our children, we can fool the church members, we can fool the pastor of the church, but we can't fool God. God knows our heart this morning, my brother and sister. He knows whether our heart is sincere this morning. He knows whether you are in church this morning because you really want to be here or because it's just out of habit that you come to church on a Sunday. He knows our heart this morning. We can't fool God. We are to draw near to God, and this must be done through the reading of His word. That's how we draw near to God. We read His word. We meditate on His word. And then we obey His word. That's what we are to be doing as Christians. Reading God's word. Meditating upon God's word. And then obeying God's word. May I ask you this morning, how is your reading of God's word? Before you came to church this morning, did you spend time reading God's word? Meditating upon God's word? Well, tomorrow evening you got an opportunity when you have that family night and some questions are going to be asked about God's word. What is our understanding of God's word like? Is it just superficial? We just know the very basics? Or are we really understanding the grips of God's word? Are we getting to the heart of God's word this morning? How are we reading our Bibles? Is it just reading our Bibles as a storybook, just superficially, just so I can tick the box in the night and sleep with a clear conscience? Lord, I've read my Bible, I've prayed. Is that what it's about? No. My brother, my sister, to draw near to God, we are to spend time in God's word. God has spoken to humanity and He has spoken through His word. If you want to hear the voice of God, you need to open the Bible and read the Bible with understanding and in obedience. We are to draw near to God with sincerity. We do this through reading His word. And as a result, it has an impact upon our lives. We desire then to sin less. See, the more I read scripture, the more I understand what God desires of my life, the more I obey Him, I will desire sin less and I will desire to pursue righteousness even more. That's what will happen in our lives. There will be a change, there will be a transformation in our lives. The closer you get to God, the less of sin you and I will desire. And then, it also results in me having a deeper love for the Lord. A love for the Lord, a love for the things of the Lord. And so that's the first response we are to make as a Christian. We are to draw near to God. And so this morning, my brother, my sister, as you reflect upon 2018, can you and I say with confidence this morning, can you and I say with assurance this morning, yes, in 2018, I have drawn closer to God. Can you say that this morning? My love for the Lord has grown deeper this year. My understanding of God and His word has grown deeper this year. I certainly have drawn closer to God. Can you and I say that this morning with certainty in our hearts? My brother, my sister, if you can't, well, then it's a good time to begin. It's a good time to begin as we think about the new year. Your prayer, your resolution for next year can be, Lord, I want to draw closer to You. I want to love You more in 2019. Second response, verse 23. We are to remain hopeful. He says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Remain hopeful. Our hope is not in any man. Our hope is not in any politician. Our hope is not in the pastor of the church. Our hope is not in the church itself. Our hope is in Jesus. That is where our hope is in. Our hope is in Jesus, who is the faithful one. We can remain faithful in hope because the one we hope in is faithful. That's what the verse tells us here. The Lord Jesus is the faithful one. He is the same Jesus who was faithful to us last year. He is the same Jesus who is faithful to us this year. He is the same Jesus who will be faithful to us next year and the year after that. Therefore, we can remain hopeful. He is the faithful one. The Apostle Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 that God has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We have a living hope in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is not dead, he is alive. Therefore, our hope is living as well. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus. We must remain hopeful. There are many, many in our society, in our country, that are not hopeful anymore. They've lost all hope. But we as Christians can remain hopeful because our hope is in Jesus. Notice he says here as well that our hope must be unswerving. In other words, our hope must not move from the left to the right. The picture here of unswerving or swerving is the picture of a drunk driver. And when a driver is drunk, he swerves from left to right. He's not sure where he really is on the road. And so our hope must also be unswerving. Our hope must not move from the left to the right. Our hope must remain fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many, many in our world today, and some of them call themselves Christians, who today they will hope in Jesus. But they will say to themselves, just in case Jesus doesn't pull through for me, let me hope in something else tomorrow. And just in case that doesn't pull through, let me hope in something else the next day. My family, my business, my finances, my education, whatever it is. And so my hope is here, my hope is there, my hope is there. It's a swerving hope. But God's word says our hope must be in the Lord Jesus Christ only. It must be unswerving. Jesus is our hope. And so my brother, my sister, this morning, where do you place your hope? Where have you placed your hope this morning? Have you placed your hope in the government? Well, they will fail you. Have you placed your hope in the church? The church will fail you. Have you placed your hope in the pastor of the church? He certainly will fail you. But if you place your hope in Jesus, he will never, ever, ever fail you. Even though we may fail him many a times, he will never, ever fail us. Never, ever fail us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that your resolution for 2019? Lord Jesus, I want to remain hopeful in you. Whatever may come my way, good or bad, whatever my circumstances may be, I want to remain hopeful in you because you never, ever change. So we are to respond by drawing near to God. We are to respond by remaining hopeful. Thirdly, verse 24 and verse 25, we are to practice encouragement. Practice encouragement. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Human nature is such that we always look for the worst in people and try to discourage people. Isn't that true? That's human nature. We look for the worst in someone and we always want to break that person down. We always want to discourage the next person. But my brother, my sister, as Christians, we must be people of encouragement. People who build up others and not tear them down. That's what the Lord desires from you and I as His disciples. People of encouragement. Well, He says here that we must encourage each other towards love and good deeds. John chapter 13 verse 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And this is not sentimental love. This is sacrificial love. This is agape love. This is the kind of love that says, you first, me second. That's the kind of love Jesus is speaking about. He put us first. And so as Christians, He says, we must practice encouragement by loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, by putting their needs above my needs. And that's contrary to what the world says. The world says, me, myself, and I first. If I got something left over, I'll help you. God says, no, you begin with the other person first. Look at the other person first. Exercise Christ-like love. Towards love, and then He says, good deeds, Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. There's a Christian thought that says, you know, as Christians, we mustn't dwell too much on good deeds, on good works. But that's a misunderstanding of what good deeds is all about. Of course, we are not saved by our good deeds. But good deeds is a response to our salvation. Because we are saved, we then do good. And the verse says there, let people see your good deeds. Let them see it. Not so that they can pat you on the back, but so that they can glorify your Father who is in heaven. My brother, my sister, you and I must put good deeds into action so that people will give glory to our Father who is in heaven. And if there is genuine Christian love, there will be genuine good deeds. Practice encouragement. As you think about your own life this morning, are you a person of encouragement? Have you encouraged your brother and sister in Christ? Or are you a person who brings about discouragement? Are you a person who is looking to tear down the next person, to destroy, to assassinate the character of another person? Because somebody else, maybe a family member, is doing a little bit better than you, you seek to destroy that person instead of build them up, instead of encourage them. Human nature is like that. But that's not the nature of a Christian. The nature of a Christian is to build up instead of tearing down. We are to draw near to God. We are to remain hopeful in Jesus. We are to practice encouragement. And then lastly, verse 25, we are to engage in regular fellowship. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. My brother, my sister, regular fellowship as a Christian is necessary for our spiritual growth and development. It was certainly a mark of the early church. The very early church always got together for regular fellowship. As a Christian, this is very, very important. There is a tendency in the church right now for people not to come regular to church. They say, well, I have DSTV at home. There's the God channel there. Let me watch in the comfort of my own home. Or let me come to church this Sunday and every alternate Sunday after that. Well, my brother, my sister, the moment you and I miss the first Sunday, the second Sunday becomes easier to miss. Isn't that true? the third Sunday becomes easier to miss, and eventually we end up with a bad habit where we don't come to church at all except for Easter and Christmas. And even then, people begin to miss that. But God's word says here we must engage in regular fellowship, and we must do away with the bad habit of missing church. It was a problem in the early church. It became a habit where people quickly began to miss out on fellowship, and it is a bad habit in the church today as well, where people don't come to church regularly. Now, I'm sure at this church, if everybody came, you'd need to bring in extra chairs if people came regularly. See, that's where it needs to be. We need to be regular in the house of the Lord. When it comes to our work, our jobs, we are there regular. We don't miss out on that. But when it comes to the house of the Lord and the things of the Lord, we quickly forget that we need to attend regularly. My brother, my sister, there should be no excuse for a person to miss church unless you are sick or unless you are working and you got no other option. Otherwise, we have to be in the house of the Lord. That is where God is, and that is where He wants to meet with His people. And that is what He encourages us to do. So if I'm speaking to someone here this morning, I don't know you, but if I'm speaking to someone here this morning who is irregular at church, you come in once in a while, I trust that you'll make that your resolution for next year. Lord, 2019, I don't want to miss a Sunday unless I am working or unless I am very sick. And tied in with regular, my brothers and sisters, is punctuality. Coming to church on time. I don't know if it's a problem here, but it's a problem at our church. Punctuality. You know, church starts at a certain time. For us, it starts at 10 o'clock, and you still have people coming in at 10:30. It can't be that way, because we're showing disrespect to God, His house, and His people. Punctuality in terms of regular fellowship is very, very important. We need to be at church on time early if possible. We have gone a bit extreme at our church, and so we say to our people, listen, at 10:15, we lock the driveway gates. And when you come to church at 10:16 and you see the gate is closed, you must keep walking. Keep walking or keep driving, because we will not open the gates. 10:15, the gates closes. You must be in church on time, because it is very, very important. You miss out on so much of the fellowship if you are not at church on time. And so as we wrap up this morning and as we reflect upon 2018 and think about 2019, draw near to God. Draw me close to you. I think we sang that song this morning. Is that your prayer for 2019? 2018, have you drawn closer to God? Is your walk with the Lord strong this morning? Remain hopeful. Are you hopeful in the Lord Jesus this morning? Are you trusting in Jesus and Jesus only this morning? Practice encouragement. Are you building up the next person, your spouse, your children? Are you building them up, or are you destroying them? Are you practicing Christian love? Are you demonstrating good deeds so that God is glorified? Engaging in regular fellowship. Is that you this morning? Well, if it is, then praise God. But if it's not, well, then today is an opportunity. How good it will be to end off 2018 and begin 2019 with these your main resolutions. What a great opportunity this is for you and I. Come, let's pray. Well, maybe the Lord has spoken to you this morning and you realize, I have not been drawing close to God with sincerity of heart. Or I have not been regular at fellowship. Or I have not been loving my neighbor like I should, or practicing good deeds like I should. Maybe you want to spend time with the Lord right now in the quietness of your own hearts. Ask Him for forgiveness and then make these your resolutions. Yes, the other resolutions are good and necessary, but this is of paramount importance. say to the Lord, Father, this year, I want to draw close to you. I want to love you even more than I've ever loved you before. I want to read your word. I want to spend time studying your word, meditating upon your word, and being obedient to your word. May that be you this morning. So Father, once again, we thank you for your word, for the great reminder that comes from your word. Lord, as we think of these New Year's resolutions, Lord, we so quickly can fall into the trap of thinking like the world and doing what the world does. And Father, we forget that we are first of all Christians and you've called us to be different. So Father, help us think through these Christians' resolutions and may these become true resolutions for us and true passions and desires that will fill our lives and that we'll pursue them to the best of our ability with your help, O God. In Jesus' name and for his name's sake we pray. Amen.